Good evening. It is 6:05, and my caretaker at the chamber, Brenda Brumfield, was looking at me like, so here we are. Thank you all so much for coming this evening for the fantastic event that we have for you tonight, honoring John Mole. I'm super excited that he was selected this year. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I was in Indianapolis today, and I was presenting a grant opportunity for the Chamber and Economic Development, and I'll tell you more about that when we get the grant. But at the last minute on Tuesday, I reached out to two people in the community and said, it would be really great if you could come along with me and you can help me present this grant. And one of them was Jen Gassiorek from Ivy Tech, and the other was Dr. K from the Muncie Community Schools. And both of them immediately said, yes, let me change my calendar, let me get this figured out, I'm going to go down there with you. And I just want to say, we got down there and we knocked it out of the ballpark. Like, we just were like, that was a slam dunk. If we don't get the grant, it will be for, you know, political reasons elsewhere in the state. But I'm really grateful to both of those ladies for rearranging their schedule. What they did when they went down there was basically say, if this grant money is given, it's not going to come to Ivy Tech. It's not going to come to the school system. But we believe so much in this program, and we know how it would impact the community that we wanted to be here, and we wanted to offer our words of support. And so I was thinking about it as I was driving home, and I was like, we live in a community where we will all say just that. Hey, this isn't going to directly put money in my pocket and my organization, but how can I help? Because I know this is going to be what's good for the community. And so I was thinking, those two ladies, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they're going to be on the legacy list as somebody who's going to honor them for doing the right thing and just taking care of our community. But tonight, we're going to honor John Mole. And I want to let you know that when the committee got together to talk about who should be on the list of recipients, it was overwhelming. John's name was on every person's list around the room. When Brenda Brumfield called him to say, hey, you've been selected, he immediately said, and he was flabbergasted, well, you know, thank you, I'm honored, but my gosh, I could think of so many other people that you should honor. And I said, that's exactly why he's being selected tonight. So thank you all for being here this evening. I'm going to turn over the Master of Ceremony duties to Steve Lindell, another person in the community who graciously gives of his time and his efforts to help make Muncie and Delaware County be a better place to live. So I'm going to turn it over to him, and he's going to kick us off. Thank you for coming tonight.
Some longer walk-up music there. I appreciate that from backstage. Yes, I would like to welcome you once again. Steve Lindell, proud to serve as the Master of Ceremonies for this prestigious event. I don't know how many of these that I have done, nearly every one of them, and each time am honored and proud to be in the room with some incredible Munsonians and beyond. I assume there are, and don't by show of hands raise your hand, there are several attorneys and or maybe non-practicing attorneys in the room tonight for a lot of obvious reasons. I've been told to stick to the script because of that, so I will follow instructions implicitly. The Greater Muncie Chamber of Commerce Legacy Gala is the event we are here for tonight, and John, as you will hear from several speakers throughout the evening, is a very deserving award winner tonight. It's presented annually to an individual or couple who have made extraordinary, sustained, and positive contributions to the Greater Muncie Chamber of Commerce and the community, and provided leadership in the development of programs, events, traditions, new and old, to build up community pride. Tonight, John meets these criteria and then some. Before we learn more about this amazing man that is in the room with us tonight, let me please welcome to the stage Mr. Brian Ayers, CEO of Open Door Health Services. Open Door has served as the presenting sponsor for the past 12 years, very kind to support the chamber. Mr. Ayers has been the CEO of Open Door Health Services since June of 2016, where he and a volunteer board of directors are leading more than 230 employees forward toward improving our community with compassion and high-quality services. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brian Ayers.
Thank you, everybody. I can always tell where we are as an organization as we progress because the previous years tells us how many employees we had. Apparently, last time we had 230. We're at 250 now. So it's an honor for Open Door to be the presenting sponsor for this event. I guess technically it's the first annual Greater Muncie Chamber of Commerce Legacy, but it's the 12th or 13th, somewhere in there, overall. We're all gathered this evening to recognize, honor, and thank John Maul for his years of guidance, support, and counsel to the many, many efforts that have benefited this community and probably everybody in the room. John gives effortlessly, he gives generously, and he's greatly appreciated, I know. Many of you know Open Door for our work as a nonprofit organization with a mission to improve the lives of others. You may be one of our 30,000 or so patients. I see we have some board members, some employees in the room. We have, as Steve said, 12 volunteer board members. More than half of them are patients. More than 250 team members offering primary care, dental services, behavioral health services, WIC, family planning, various outreach services, ambassadors into the community, a connections team into the community to get people connected to services they need, all of this regardless of their ability to pay. We measure our success through healthier patients, happier employees, and successful partnerships throughout the community, all working towards improving the lives of others. John's a great example of improving the lives of others. His lifelong stewardship of inclusiveness and patience have established a high bar for the rest of us. Honored to be here to help with the recognition for him on the behalf of our board of directors, our employees, and our 30,000 patients. We thank John for his work in the community, and I give the microphone back to Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Open Door Health Services, generous support of this event, and thank you for all that you and all of those do in our community. I'd like to call attention to our sponsors tonight. We wish them much thanks for helping us put on this great event. And the honoree, of course, will be speaking later in the program. We have a delicious meal coming in just a couple of minutes. Our platinum sponsors tonight are Ball State University. Gold-level sponsors include Defer Varan LLC and IU Ball Memorial Hospital. Corporate sponsors tonight include AMS Entertainment Audiovisual, the City of Muncie, First Merchants Bank, Horizon Convention Center, Ivy Tech Community College, Meridian Health Services, Northwest Bank, Stoops Automotive Group, and Westminster Village of Muncie. We would also like to acknowledge our centerpiece sponsors tonight, G&G Oil, Indiana Trust Wealth Management, Meridian Health Services, and Star Financial Bank. Please give them all a warm round of applause and thanks. Now please welcome to the stage the Reverend Dr. Ron Naylor. He'll be coming up right now to have tonight's invocation.
I'm really filling in tonight for my good friend and the wonderful pastor we have at First Presbyterian Church, Darren Hoffman. And John, Darren has a few words for you before I give the invocation that he was supposed to give. I regret that I will not be able to attend the event, but I thank you for the honor. Since I first met you when you served as a member of the Pastoral Nominating Committee, to the leadership you provided as an elder and specifically in guiding our Worship and Religious Arts Committee, I've seen both your gifts and your faith on display. I've seen your integrity in all that you do and the wisdom you bring to the table in many of our vital conversations. I've seen your heart for this church, and more importantly, I've seen your heart for God's calling in your life. From what I've heard and observed for myself, you've been and are a servant leader within this community and congregation. You are respected by many, including me. You are well deserving of this honor. And so Darren has even given me the prayer to read, John. So this is really Darren's prayer, not Ron's prayer, but let us bow in prayer. God of grace and love, we give thanks for a lifetime of opportunities to say yes to your calling and a lifetime of gifts and experiences that you call forth in the service of our neighbors. Even as the community gathers to celebrate a lifetime of service to this community, my prayer is that you will continue to bless John with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, and to continue offering his leadership and faith into the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I remember the day of this.
Thank you, Reverend Naylor. You may remember that Ron is a past recipient of the Legacy Award. We have other past recipients with us tonight. As I say your name, if you don't mind, stand to be recognized. Stefan Anderson, I saw in the room a little while ago. Stefan, nice to see you. I believe the Dollisons, Cornelius and Mary, might be in the room as well. If you could please stand to be recognized. And I know I saw the clean carpets. Carl Kaiser is somewhere in this room as well. Carl, great to see you as well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you've enjoyed your meal or are still, and your dessert. Please continue enjoying that, and your table service is coming around. The bar remains open on that side of the room. I understand there is some coffee on this side of the room, too. If you're interested, please feel free. And we're going to begin our program right now with a wonderful lineup of speakers this evening. Our first will be Stefan Anderson. Steve's the chairman emeritus and former CEO of First Merchants Corporation. Additionally, he has served on the George and Francis Ball Foundation and as the vice president and director with the Sherman and Marjorie Ziegler Foundation. Steve is a life trustee and past chairman of the Nature Conservancy of Indiana. His list in the community is extensive, the service that he has provided, and that's probably why he was a Legacy Award recipient in 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Stefan Anderson to the podium.
Thank you, Steve. I think we all know who the most uncomfortable person in the room is tonight. And he's sitting right there looking at all his pictures. You know, it's an honor to be here to talk about John and his achievements in the community. And I'm reminded that it was former President Jimmy Carter who said, "Legacy is not leaving something for someone. It is leaving something in someone." And he might have been describing John Maul. Wherever John has touched the lives of others, he's set an example of caring, competence, and wisdom. Working together for over 45 years in many different organizations and boards, including the bank, George and Francis Ball Foundation, the Community Foundation, I've observed two common threads in John's character and his approach. First, John genuinely cares about the ideas and the thoughts of others and wants to understand them. Secondly, in complex issues and meetings, John is seldom the first to speak. I would say almost never the first to speak. He listens thoughtfully and then offers a common sense solution that helps us all see complex issues more clearly. And that continues to happen at the George and Francis Ball Foundation, which John chairs. Whether it was his exceptional love and care provided for his late wife, Barbara, or it was a Nature Conservancy trip to Yucatan, caring about others is real for John. I remember during a trip to the Yucatan with John and Barbara, our group scampered up to the top of a Mayan pyramid. That is, all except John. When we looked down, John was near the bottom, helping an elderly lady get up to the top without falling. That was John, and is John. His counsel for First Merchants, his exceptional competence was valued beyond measure by our board. And I do remember him preparing an application and preparing me for a hearing at the Security and Exchange Commission in Washington. John did the legal work, and I was told we had to have a Washington or New York legal firm to represent us. We did. We hired one, and he later, after the hearing, said to me, you know, I learned a lot from the work that John Maul did. Many of you may know that John is a skillful and persistent runner, but he's also an unpredictable one. You just can't figure out, you'd never be able to guess where you will find John outside at all times of year running, but it's likely to be far, far away from where you left. One of the most memorable runs, perhaps, was the Chicago Marathon in 1979, when he took pledges for our United Way campaign. Many didn't know what a good runner John was and pledged good sums of money, thinking he wouldn't finish. He did finish, and he raised a bunch of money, which helped us go over the top that year. So in a few words, caring, competence, and wisdom, that is his legacy for us and in us. St. Francis said, one's life preaches a sermon. John, your life continues to preach a sermon, and one that the world vitally needs to hear today. Thank you very much.
Stephen, thank you very much. Next up is Reverend Ron Naylor making his way back to the stage. Ron agreed to the double duty tonight, and the chamber certainly thanks you for your willingness to help us with tonight's program. And Ron was a legacy recipient in 2021. Ron, please welcome him to the stage.
I really think that you're going to hear some similar things said about John Maul tonight, probably by all four of us. But unlike other speakers tonight, I can claim that I'm here tonight and have been in Muncie for 38 years to a great extent because of John Maul. John was chairman of the pulpit committee that called me as pastor to First Presbyterian Church. That was 38 years ago. And I've observed John in many roles in our community and in his private life. And John, I'm really honored to be speaking in support of your Legacy Award. In fact, in 2020, when I received the Legacy Award, I remember saying to someone at the chamber, "Thank you very much, but what about John Maul? He's a person that really deserves the Legacy Award." That's really a direct quote. I've been proud to be John's pastor and friend, pastor for 28 years, where he served faithfully on our session and on two pastoral nominating committees. John's voice was always valued and his wisdom appreciated because it always came with humility. Of course, John is one of our community's esteemed lawyers. John was the attorney for Ball State, served on the board of First Merchants, did some big stuff. He really did some big stuff, John, in business deals over the years. When he was in his very last days of life, I was with Reed Varan, one of John's partners. And Reed said, this is a Harvard Law School graduate. Reed said, "John Maul is the smartest attorney I've ever known." I don't know about that. I mean, he did my will. And when I ask him simple lawyer questions, he never gives me an answer. He refers me to specialists. And I guess every aspect of our world today has specialists. But in truth, that's why John is so good. He stays in his lane, not like preachers, we're generalists. But honestly, I don't think John would probably be a real good trial lawyer. He's more of a business attorney. And why do I say that? Well, on a trip just a couple years ago with John and Nancy, we were going to Stratford, Ontario to the Shakespeare Festival. John got pulled over by an Ontario cop. And he pleaded with this cop. He said, "You know, I've never had a ticket. Never. In 62 years, I've never had a ticket." He really pleaded out his case. But John got his first speeding ticket at the age of 79. John and his family have not just been members of my congregation, but they've been among Susan and my best friends. We all remember Barb Maul, who never met a stranger. But what many of you do not know is after Barb contracted Alzheimer's disease, John was not a passive spouse. I work at Westminster Village now as the chaplain. And the nurses have told me over and over again, because they know I'm friends with John, they've never seen a more faithful husband than John Maul, who nightly came to feed Barb, to care for her, and to love her. There is something in our marriage vows about in sickness and health. As a friend, that's why so many of us were delighted and excited when John and Nancy got together, and later were married by Darren Hoffman and myself during COVID at First Presbyterian Church. Traveling with John and Nancy has been fun to see the active life they lead so joyfully. You could see the pictures. They've been to so many places and speaks of the legacy of love they both bring to their marriage. The character of a man or woman is defined in such moments. For the old saying goes, life is the sum of your choices. So what goes into making a great life? Good judgment is why John Maul has experienced a fulfilling life and has left a legacy in his career as an attorney. He's left a legacy in his spiritual formation, and he's left a legacy in his personal life of love. And we have all seen why John Maul has made our community richer by his presence. I can think of no one I respect more than John Maul, not for his accomplishments, which are many, but for the fine person he has always been. Finally, you know, as Steve said, John still runs. I guess you still run about 10 miles a week, John. Ran a marathon last year, but the family said, that's it. No more marathons. So I want to use running as a final comment. As we honor John Maul for his legacy to our community, it's not been a sprint. It's been a marathon of service, expertise, faithfulness, and love that continues to inspire us, which is why it's so obvious we honor John Maul with our 2023 Legacy Award. Thank you, John.
Reverend Naylor. Our next speaker is Dr. John Worthen. John is the 11th president of Ball State University, serving some 1984 to 2000, those years during his tenure. Dr. Worthen earned the respect and admiration of his colleagues, the campus community, and the Muncie area as a whole. Under Worthen's leadership, the Ball State University held their first ever capital campaign and helped the institution become nationally recognized in its use of technology to enhance the learning experience of the university's growing enrollment. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John Worthen.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to help confirm the fact that John Maul is deserving of the Legacy Award this year. I've worked at four universities, and I have dealt with the lawyers who serve those universities. And I have talked with dozens of presidents from around the country about their lawyers and how they are handling the legal issues that come before them. And it is my judgment that John Maul is the best higher education attorney in the country. I worked with John for 16 years, and then he continued to work at Ball State University, so he spent many years serving the university. And I'm going to talk just about university because you've already heard about the other activities that he has been involved in legally. And let me give you a couple of examples. Now, these cases that I'm going to mention never happened, but they're representative of what might have happened. We were faced with a serious issue that dealt with, that would affect all of the seven colleges of the university and several departments and many faculty members. And we needed to figure out an approach to solving this problem. And so I brought the senior staff together, and we were sitting at the conference table, seven or eight people, and we were going to discuss this issue and try to come up with an approach that would work. And we invited John to sit in. So we began discussion. Several of the vice presidents had their position that they wanted to make clear, and they had ideas about what we should do. We discussed, we argued. At times it got pretty heated. I tried to keep order, and when we finally got to the point of consensus, which actually turned out to be the consensus that I thought we should do, the approach that we should take, I turned to John and I said, "So what do you think? Can we do that?" And he said, "Well, I understand the problem, and I value hearing the positions of all of these senior staff members, and I think the consensus is pretty straightforward, but I don't think we can do it. It could cause other legal issues, and I think that perhaps we need a different approach." And I said, "John, we want to get this thing solved. We know how to do it. You're our lawyer. Tell us how to do it." And he said, "Well, actually, I think maybe we could do something very close to what you've suggested." And so we talked about that, and we argued with John. And finally, we came to the conclusion that we should do what John was suggesting. So that issue was solved. The only thing we had to do was implement it then. The second case that I would mention, and this never happened either, professional staff member came to me and said, "A young woman, a junior student, has come to me and said that she is charging a faculty member with sexual harassment." And I said, "Well, talk some more with her. Let's find out. Let's investigate this." She came back very shortly and said, "I have talked with her. I don't think this is sexual harassment. I think she is infatuated with the professor, and she has gone to his house, and she has gone in his house. She has gone into his bedroom. They have done certain things, and I think this is not sexual harassment." So we called John. We explained the situation to John. We agreed that this is inappropriate behavior on the part of the faculty member, that we really think that it is possible to dismiss this faculty member with cause. John was assigned to talk with the faculty member. He approached him. He took a contract along. He explained that he was dismissed as of that day, and he was to leave the university immediately, and he was to sign this contract. The faculty member protested, called John names, said he was not going to do this, and he was going to get his own attorney. But after more discussion, he agreed to sign the contract, which said that he would leave the university immediately, but his salary would continue. This was a fall semester. The salary would continue through the semester, and his health care program would continue through the year. Situation closed, no public comment. We did suggest to the professional staff member that she might have a contact with the student and ask the student to consider getting her boyfriends from within the student body in the future. This, of course, never happened, but it's the kind of thing that John was able to deal with in a very calm and expert manner. And that confirms what I said at the beginning, in my view. John handled many other issues, legal issues, that Ball State had, as any university would have. Lots of suits, accidents on the campus, the complete thing of the legal issues that might come before the university. And so, again, I say that John Maul has performed legal expertise in our community in a variety of ways, but with respect to higher education, I think he is the best lawyer in the country. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I'm hoping for some more fictitious stories about John. Sounded fascinating. And now I would like to invite our final speaker for the evening, John's longtime colleague and law partner, Jim Williams. Jim joined Defer Varan Legal Practice in 1994. Along with his legal career, Jim is also the president of the Muncie Community Schools Board of Trustees and serves on a number of other boards and committees throughout the community. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Jim Williams.
Good evening. My stories will all have the benefit of being true. John and I have been colleagues for over 30 years and friends for that long. My wife Jennifer worked alongside Barb and alongside John in providing care for Barb during her long goodbye. When I think about legacy, I read part of a book, in college by Doris Lessing. Doris Lessing was a British novelist, 20th century British novelist, who wrote a book called The Golden Notebook in about 1962 or so. And she talked about humanity's legacy. And she said it's a legacy of stories and storytelling. And it's the most precious gift we have. And all of our wisdom is in our stories and our songs. And when I think about John and the stories we tell, some of those tonight, some in our living rooms, some on the street, there's a great deal of wisdom that is imparted. He has embodied what I would consider to be the servant lawyer for decades. But not all of it has been wise. John indicated he didn't want to roast, but I did YouTube a little Don Rickles beforehand. And John is a great traveler. And Jennifer and I have been privileged to travel with him all over the world. And there was a trip that John and I and Jennifer and Greg Huffman, our departed partner, took to Stratford to watch some plays, and we had a wonderful time. We were coming back, and John is behind the wheel of his hybrid Toyota. We're getting to the border at Port Huron, coming back from Canada to the United States. So we're crossing through the border station with the United States Border Patrol there. And we're coming up to the guardhouse or the passage house there, and John's distracted for some reason, and we're rolling a little fast and almost through, and he stops, and so the officer working the window is a little distracted and a little irritated with John. John rolls down the window, and we start our spiel about where we've been, and John says, well, we've been at the Stratford Festival seeing plays. Well, at this point, for some reason, Greg Huffman, not wanting to be one-upped, sitting directly behind John in the driver's seat, rolled his window down. And they both start participating in telling the border officer what plays we've seen. We saw The Tempest. We saw The Pirates of Penzance. Greg says, yes, the Henry IV Part II. It's like John and Greg are totally distracting this guard. So we've handed our passports over. Mine, James Ronald Williams. What seems to be just a minute or so passes. And then I'm being ordered out of the car and being dragooned by a squad of Border Patrol officers. And I'm handcuffed behind the car because there's a fugitive warrant for a James Ricardo Williams. And as I'm being, now this is where, family members, this is where the lack of wisdom shows, just a bit, just a touch. So Jennifer's in the car behind me, and I'm being frog marched into the holding cell. And John turns around and looks at Jennifer and says, I wonder what Jim did. So Ron Naylor was up here a minute ago talking about John as a trial lawyer. On that day, it was non-existent. He had already pled me out. So that's one instance. The other, and this, shortly after Barbara died, I called John, and my son, our son Sam, was studying in Budapest, and I said, John, hey, why don't you join us? We're going to go over for a week and visit Sam. And John said, well, I can't think of a good reason not to. So that's the beauty of John. Mark Twain says, travel is fatal to prejudiced, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And John is the most equitable, open-minded, loving human being I know. And he travels immensely, and it shows. And he joined us on this trip, and it was a blessing, an absolute blessing. John's sister-in-law had told us that she had studied in Budapest during the Cold War, prior to the fall of the Iron Curtain. And she had worked with somebody over there named Tomas, who was like a brother to her. And John's sister-in-law is in her 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And so we get Tomas's phone number. John gets it somehow. And we arrange to meet Tomas. He wants to meet us in a public place. Okay, he's being safe. And we go to a mall in Budapest, and John comes back with Tomas, and Tomas is about 30. And we have a lunch with Tomas, and we're all talking about John's sister-in-law, and he does have some knowledge of who she is. And so we have this long luncheon with Tomas, and we take a picture of John and Tomas, and if it were up here, you would see that Tomas looks a little awkward, and John's there with him. And so we leave the luncheon, and John texts his sister-in-law a picture of the photo, and we had the wrong Tomas. But John made him feel just welcome as hell. giving him career advice, everything else. So I thought a little bit of humor because I was placed last, I think, to pivot just a bit. When I was thinking yesterday morning, really one of our first long trips with John, Jennifer and I and the kids and Barb went to Greece with the First Presbyterian Church. And our first day in Athens, John was leading the group up the Acropolis and getting close to the Parthenon. And so yesterday morning, I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about John and what he's embodied for me and for so many others. And Aristotle talks about a concept of Greek happiness. And in Aristotle's telling, it's not happiness as we think of it in our modern world, an immediate gratification. It's a much more deferred lifetime endeavor. And happiness consists in achieving, during the course of a lifetime, all those things, health, knowledge, friends, that lead to the perfection of human nature and the enrichment of human life. And this quest, this pursuit, from the standpoint of the ancients, requires us to make disciplined and often difficult choices. And John has consistently made those disciplined, difficult choices with love, with compassion, with empathy, with humanity, and with curiosity. I miss him at the office. The Greeks call it sublime beatitude. And he's embodied that. And it is a level of service in the cause of humanity. And I know this sounds perhaps a bit highbrow, but he truly is a unique individual, and we've been blessed to have him in our midst for a long, long time, and so please don't go anywhere. This is extraordinarily well-deserved, and I'm very, very happy and gratified for you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your words. It's now time to present the prestigious Legacy Award to our honoree. To do this honor, I would like to welcome the Greater Muncie Chamber of Commerce Chairman of the Board, Mr. Nick Tokar.
Well, welcome, everyone. I don't like to follow Jim, who's one of the great storytellers of the planet, also one of the greatest memories. He knew the name of the author of part of a book he read in college 30-some years ago. I'm reading three books. I don't know the author of any of them right now. That's current. So he's a better storyteller, and he has a much better memory. But as the chairman of the Greater Muncie Chamber of Commerce, I'm privileged to stand before you this evening. Tonight we gathered to shine a light on an extraordinary individual whose life work has been a beacon of service and dedication. I'm going to keep things bipartisan. Mr. Anderson mentioned Jimmy Carter. When I was thinking about John, I thought about a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, or made famous by Teddy Roosevelt, and that's, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." John, in my experience, and I think many of you would agree, all of you would agree, he was never loud or full of bluster. In fact, I describe John as almost soft-spoken, a gentleman in every sense of the word. There was never any question, though, that John carried a big stick, and we're all fortunate that he swung that stick for the benefit of our community. A man of quiet strength and humility, he dedicated his life to the betterment of others. I can testify to that personally. Having worked with John for over a decade, I learned very much. He was a great mentor to me, and I learned how to serve clients and community from John. So as we gather tonight to present John with the Legacy Award, we recognize the profound impact he's had on our community. His tireless efforts have enriched our lives, demonstrating that true leadership is not about grand gestures, but about steadfast actions that ripple through time. Muncie stands as a testament to his dedication, a community that thrives in no small part due to the efforts of John and his commitment and selflessness. So in the company of this distinguished assembly, friends, family, community members, we honor John's legacy. Your presence here underscores the far-reaching influence he has had, shaping lives and futures in ways beyond measure. This evening is not only a celebration of John's accomplishments, but a reminder that even the quietest dedication can ignite the brightest change. So with deep admiration and gratitude, I invite a man of remarkable humility, yet immeasurable impact, to take the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's with great pleasure that I introduce the recipient of the 2023 Legacy Award, Mr. John H. Maul.
Conversation about humility, a person can get unduly big-headed after hearing all that puffery, but my wife and my daughter will bring me back down to earth before the evening's over, I'm sure of that. So. I'd like to thank the directors and the members and the staff of the chamber for this award, and I especially want to thank Brenda Brumfield for her hard work and so professionally putting together this evening. Brenda does such a great job, and the people serving our dinner tonight also did a really great job. I thank them, too. So. Then finally, I wanted to thank my friends Steve and Ron and John and Jim for their comments. And Brenda asked me to find four people who would be willing to say something nice about me. I was really concerned. Being a lawyer, I didn't even know if that was possible or not. So. I want to start by introducing my family who are here this evening, and you can wave. You don't have to stand up unless you want to. My wife, Nancy. My daughter and son-in-law, Kathy and Tom Woods. And my oldest, by 1 minute, of my three grandchildren, Eddie Woods. You might guess by now that my three grandchildren are triplets, so. The other two, Eddie's representing Mary and John because they've already started back to college for their senior year, which is hard to believe. Eddie goes back to Brown this weekend, so he's got one more year to figure out what he's going to do with his life. My son Kevin is 9,000 miles away in Saigon, so I don't think there's much chance that he'll be here tonight. My recently enlarged family includes Nancy's three children, two spouses, and four grandsons. They live in Denver and Chicago and the Pittsburgh area, and they couldn't be here tonight either. I feel really lucky to receive this award because I know so many others, as I think maybe Elizabeth said right on off this, at the start, that deserve it as much or more than me. But in any case, considering the nature of the award, I hope you don't mind if I take a few minutes to just reminisce about my 5 decades here in Muncie. And that's 5 decades so far. I'm not ready to check out yet. It seems like just a short time ago that my first wife, Barbara, who died 4.5 years ago, and I brought our young family to Muncie from the Navy. It was February 1971, and the Vietnam War was just winding down. There were only 2 people here, friends from our days at IU, that we knew. All we knew about Muncie was that it was the home of Ball Jars and Ball State University. And most importantly, I had an offer of employment with a reputable law firm, at least most importantly from my perspective. It turned out to be a good decision. The best thing is that, in addition to my own family, I have been adopted by and become a part of at least 5 other Muncie families and shared in their growth and prosperity. And all 5 of those adopted families are well represented here tonight. My second family has been my law firm. In 1971, I became the 7th lawyer at the firm now known as DeFer Varan. The firm occupied part of the 2nd floor of Muncie Federal Savings and Loan. Now the firm has 27 lawyers, 28 staff, and 4 Indiana locations. Its principal office is in its own 3-story building right here in Muncie where Ball Stores used to be. Our lawyers and staff, along with my wonderful clients, have made it a joy for me to practice law here in Muncie for 50 years. And the administrators, faculty, employees, and students at Ball State University constitute my 3rd family. It's hard to believe that when we came to Muncie, Ball State was only 5 years out of being a teacher's college. Now it's a well-respected university on a beautiful campus, offering an undergraduate education that rivals those of Indiana and Purdue universities. And important for our quality of life, it offers so many of the cultural and other amenities that Barbara and I were looking for in a college town. Then there are the Ball State athletic events for us sports fans, and I've always been a sports fan. I've attended Ball State football games every year since we arrived. In 1971, two of the schools on Ball State's football schedule were Butler University and Wittenberg College. This year, Ball State opens with the University of Kentucky, then travels to number one University of Georgia. A little different. And I'm pleased that the person I consider the best Ball State football coach in the last 50 years, Paul Schudell, and his wife, Mary, traveled here from Michigan to be here tonight. Wanted you to wave so everybody could see Paul and Mary. First Merchants has been my fourth Muncie family, and I've had the good fortune to work with so many wonderful employees and directors at First Merchants since I arrived in 1971. At that time, it was called the Merchants National Bank of Muncie. It had fewer than $200 million in assets and no branches outside of Delaware County. Now, First Merchants has more than $18 billion in assets with 126 banking offices in six states. My fifth family has been the congregation and the pastors at First Presbyterian Church. I'm particularly proud that First Presbyterian is a mission-oriented church, due in no small part to Ron Naylor's influence. I'm especially proud of our current partnership with the children, teachers, and parents at Southview Elementary School in South Muncie. And then my sixth family consists of the many dedicated staff and volunteers who do the good work of Muncie's charitable, civic, and other nonprofit organizations. We have literally hundreds of agencies who do so much every day to address the great needs we have here in Muncie. As a director of several local philanthropic foundations, I've been in a good place to observe the impact that these organizations have. Studies have shown that on a per capita basis, Muncie is one of the most generous communities in the state. The Community Foundation recently compiled data showing that Muncie's private foundations and community foundations together invest about $30 million every year in the community. We all know that Muncie has many challenges, including too much poverty and too many residents without the education or other training needed to succeed in our emerging economy. Unfortunately, this is a common problem for the Midwestern communities that were the heart of the automobile industry for many years. Even so, I believe Muncie has a very bright future. Consider some of the changes since Barbara and I brought our family to Muncie in 1971. The downtown that was almost dead has been revived and is thriving and growing, with this convention center, a new full-service hotel, children's museum, new Ivy Tech campus, Minnetrista, Cannon Commons, several good restaurants, and hundreds of people living downtown and loving it. The Cardinal Greenway is Indiana's longest and best rail trail. I use it on most days to run, as was pointed out. And Muncie has the only urban school system in the United States that is operated by a public university. Ball State Universities and the schools, leaders and teachers are working to transform the Muncie Community Schools into a very desirable place to educate your children. I'm involved with the George and Francis Ball Foundation, which has organized a large group of collaborative partners to form Cradle to Career Muncie, which has a long-term goal of combating generational poverty by nearly doubling the number of adults who have a post-secondary degree or credentials to 60%. Last weekend, Nancy and I attended the dedication of Community Enhancement Project's new Muncie Memory Spiral in Heakin Park, and I recommend you make a trip out there and see it. This coming weekend, we will attend the opening of Ball State's new Brown Amphitheater with a free public concert featuring Don McLean and American Pie, which some of us older people remember. the YMCA, with the financial and other support of the Muncie Schools, IU Ball Memorial Hospital Foundation, and several other local foundations and contributors, is building a beautiful new $31 million facility on the Muncie Central High School campus. Ball State University is undertaking the task of revitalizing the University Village, which will have a new $40 million performing arts center and a first-class hotel. I could go on, but that's not a community that's not thriving. This is a community that's really moving forward. I'm not ready to hang it up either. I just signed up for my 36th Indy Mini Marathon, so that'll be, I have to keep running until 2024. And someone said I ran 10 miles a week. I ran 15 miles a week. So I wanted to get us out of here, hopefully in time to see the supermoon one more time. So maybe we made it. And so I'll just wrap up by thanking the chamber again for this really nice award, and to all of you for attending and making this a really special night for me. Thank you.
I hope that you will agree this was a wonderful evening. John, congratulations on being the recipient of tonight's Legacy Award. It is well, well deserved. The award shows our appreciation of the work that you've done for Muncie, Delaware County, but your work extends much further than even we could say tonight. We want to thank you for all you've done and for the encouragement you continue to give us. Let's also thank our sponsors for the event tonight for their support. Our presenting sponsor, Open Door Health Services. Our platinum sponsors, Ball State University. Gold level sponsors include Defer Varan LLC and IU Ball Memorial Hospital. The corporate sponsors include AMS Entertainment, Audiovisual, City of Muncie, First Merchants Bank, Horizon Convention Center, Ivy Tech Community College, Meridian Health Services, Northwest Bank, Stoops Automotive Group, and Westminster Village. We'd also like to acknowledge our centerpiece sponsors, G&G Oil, Indiana Trust, Wealth Management, Meridian Health Services, and Star Financial Bank. Please, one more round of applause for all of the sponsors' support. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our program tonight. John, again, congratulations, and thank you from a grateful community for the work and your efforts. And may they continue, and you will not check out. You will continue running, and you will continue making us all appreciate the likes of people like you that live and work among us. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your night.